Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you're doing well. It's always a joy to share, even though this was very short notice. I'm very excited because this series has been really enlightening. We all know Jesus is important, of course. We know he is the focal point of our faith. But it's been really interesting to find out all the different ways he is through the Game Changer sort of series. So this is part of that series, looking at Jesus and what he's done to the world, but also what he's done on a micro level in our individual lives. And so looking at Luke 6, if you're looking for titles, I suppose you could call this Building on the Rock. It's really quite straightforward. There's two pictures painted, someone who is wise, a wise builder, and a foolish builder. They're put next to each other, very easy to compare and to contrast and to work out which one we are, which one we should be, and there's helpful advice as to how we can get to the right question. This series has taught us that Jesus is absolutely game-changing. He changed the world. Time bends around him. And for believers who follow Jesus, unlike folks who used to follow philosophers or who used to follow different leaders, the texture of our lives actually change when we follow Jesus. And this is where we arrive in Luke chapter 6. Jesus wants us to consider the impact of following him. When we follow Jesus, something should happen. Now, I want to just put a disclaimer out there. You know, there's a certain temptation, I think, when we read these very simple portions of Scripture to just think, oh, pity the foolish builders, you know. Just follow Jesus. Just do what he says, you know. And we can think, just by default, we're wise. And we read this and just think about someone who needs to hear this, right? So you go, oh, my son, if only he was here. This is the sermon he needs to hear, you know. Or we go, my sister, I'm going to send this to someone after. Before you hit send, consider if Jesus may be talking to you. Consider 1 Corinthians 10, let the righteous take heed lest they fall. Consider the interrogation you might have to do about your life before you send it to other people. Three things to note about this portion of Scripture. There's four verses, three things. The first thing that Jesus said that I think is game-changing is that everybody is building some kind of house. Everybody's building. We're all pouring our lives into some alabaster box. We're all investing our energy, ourselves, into something. And what's interesting is we live in this age of cognitive dissonance where people can believe one thing and practice another. We live in an age where it's very easy to pay lip service to all sorts of different things, but not actually be committed to them. In fact, people who I speak to about Jesus often say, I agree with him. And I go, really? You agree with him? And they say, yeah, like he says some nice things. He says really great things. They may even have a mug with some quotes from Jesus. They may even quote Jesus to their children. Folks who don't follow him will happily adopt interesting, wise things he says. Now, we look at this, people, and we say, you're hearing all the wise things, but you're missing the most important part. But sometimes we are like that too in the church. We pay lip service to Jesus. We say the right things. We mentally accept what he says. We call him Savior, but oftentimes we don't call him Lord. We don't walk the narrow path he instructed us to. Jesus says in this portion that my people, they will do the right things. They will build their life on my word. They won't just accept a bunch of claims. They will do the good. He says they will put them into practice. Verse 48, if you have your Bible, look down there. Very interesting, some of the words he uses to color this for us. He says, the person who puts his words into practice. The person who obeys, because that's the true fruit of love, will be like a man building a house who dug down deep. Right? I've never done a house renovation. I'm more of a strategy guy. I don't really get involved with the, you know. But I have friends who've done renovations. They've had to dig down, and it's tough stuff, right? It's not strategy, you know. It's actually digging. And so he's making it clear to us that to obey him is difficult. And I've heard some phrases used or examples given for what it means to live a life where you follow Jesus. Folks say, well, it's like planting an apple tree. You put the seed in the ground and it grows. And that sounds good, but anyone who's walked with Jesus for more than a few days will know that it's tough to obey sometimes. It's difficult. It's like digging down. It's like getting low. It's like being in the trenches. It's difficult to turn the other cheek. It's difficult to forgive those who persecute you. It's difficult to practice patience, love, peace, forbearance, self-control, all these different things. It's tough sometimes to be a faithful witness. But Jesus makes it clear. Those who say, Lord, Lord, who proclaim their mind, they have to do the good. They have to follow the narrow path I illuminated for them. Every time we aim at the good, every time we make decisions in view of what Jesus has done, it's akin to laying a brick in this household of faith we're building. And all of us are building something. And this is where Jesus starts. We are all building a house. Those who've decided that money will be the focal point of their life, they are building a house. And at some stage, a storm will come, and that house they've built will be tested. And to us who proclaim that Jesus will be our foundation, if that's the truth, then as the scripture says, at some stage, that house will be tested. So the first thing is everyone's building a kind of house. The second thing is storms are coming. Now there is, of course, a certain form of prosperity gospel that exists in the world that says that trusting in Jesus will mean you have no storms, no pain, no persecution. Life is going to be yeehaw, right? And everything will be great. That's not true, of course, because notice it says when the storm comes. Rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how fit you are, a storm will come. And the house you've built will be tested. And so Jesus says, if you want to survive these storms of life, these torrents as he calls them, build a life on my firm foundation. Build a life on my solid rock. In other words, build a rain shelter before it starts raining. Some of you, some of us in here, will have experiences, times where you've been tested, where your faith has really been shaken and you passed the test. It's made you stronger. It's made you bolder. It's even grown your faith. There will be some of us in here, if you remember those times where you've fasted for something, you've waited on the Lord, you've so desperately desired something and you've submitted it to him and you've had to wait and you've encountered senseless tragedies and you've waited for God to come through and he's come through. All those moments, remember them because they are proof. They are the badge of honor that show you that your life is built on the solid rock. How do I know that? Because you're still here. You're still sat in this room. You still profess a love to Jesus. Despite all the weapons that were formed against you, they did not prosper. Think back at what God has brought you through, what he's brought you over, secret battles that he's won on your behalf. All these amazing things are proof that when you build your life on the rock, the house won't fall. There is no surer foundation than the Word of God. And again, this is against the backdrop of a world that offers countless alternatives, other ways to build a life. Folks who think, if I just amass money, fame, wealth, I can somehow inoculate myself from the storms of life. Unfortunately, they get a rude awakening, because there's no amount of money or fame or adulation that can protect us from these storms. It's only a life built on God's word, built on his firm foundation that lasts and that survives. And he says all of this to these believers to make them aware that whilst they're nodding, they actually have to walk as well. You can agree with Jesus, but you have to do the right thing. Which brings me to our third point. We see this in verse 48 too when we look. Because the storms did come, the floods did come, but it says it did not shake the house because it was well built. What does this mean? Authentic faith lasts. A life built on God's truth, it holds together even though weapons are formed against it. Jesus says here, and it's pretty radical if you consider it, he says, I can handle the weight of your trust. I can handle the weight of your expectation. And it's the case that everything else that you put your trust or your hope in will cave in on the weight of your expectation. It will capitulate. It will fall apart. But Jesus here says this revolutionary thing. And he says, I can actually handle the weight of everything you're hoping for, you're dreaming for. Put it on me. Build a life on me. And that life won't fall apart. It's such a bold statement. He presents Christianity not as a mental gymnastics, not as a mental sort of game, but he calls it a contact sport where you actually have to do and put into practice the things you say you believe. You see, faith is really interesting. There's an example I was given in Sunday school when I was young, and my youth leader at the time put a chair out. Have we got the time to do an example? Why not? This is new for me. I need a chair. So can I just grab? Do you mind grabbing me a chair? And I need a volunteer, if that's okay. Would anyone be so kind as to? Thank you so much. Thank you. Do you want to be the volunteer? Oh, there we go. I'm so sorry. You didn't know. So no. If you just stand up for now. So and this is the example he gave me, and it blew my young mind. And I still remember it till today. So, we can have a conversation about this chair. And do you think this chair can hold your weight? Yeah? What makes you think that? No? It's done it before. Yeah, it's done it before. It looks pretty sturdy, right? Now, we can talk at length about, you know, will it hold it? Look at the makeup of it. Walk around. Scale it. Feel it. But all of that is very different to if you'd have a seat. You sitting on the chair. Because what happens when you sit on the chair is you actually put your weight on it. There's some sort of risk. Oh, thank you so much. That was so great. Wasn't he great? When he sits down, he actually puts his weight on it. He actually puts something on the line. I.e., if he sits on it and the thing actually isn't strong enough, he may fall over. He may fall on the ground. But folks who pay lip service to Jesus are the ones who walk around the chair and say, it looks pretty good. I think it could hold my weight. It looks just really well built. But they haven't sat on it. They haven't put their weight on it. They haven't said, I'm going to actually put all my eggs in one basket. I'm going to risk something. I'm going to put my faith to test by putting it on the rock. I love 1 Corinthians 15 and how Paul describes the gospel. When speaking to folks he had once preached to, he commends them. He says, remember the gospel, and he uses this term, upon which you stand. So he likens the gospel to the very ground they're standing on. He's like, it's the thing keeping you upright. It's the foundation that you're standing on. If we had that mindset, we would leave the sort of foggy world of claims and debates and interesting thoughts about Jesus, and we would start to walk the narrow path he's commanded us to walk. Why does Jesus say these things? Because if you don't build that kind of life, you'll build a life on something else. And as we see in verse 49, those who build a life on something else, where the focal point is something else, where the worship is about something else, at some stage it will collapse and the destruction will be complete. So as a measure of his love, he saves us from a life of this that's wasted by saying, build your life on my word. Young people would say, stand on business. Build your life on my word. Put your trust in me. Put your weight on me. If you do that, you protect your joy. If you do that, you unhook from all the various new iterations of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, to the light that the world's... Have you noticed it's just the same thing and just different sort of camouflage now that the world offers us? You know, just like Jesus was offered different things, it's just the same thing. And he says, reject those things. Instead, be people who put into practice what it is I've told you. Don't just hear my words, do it. Let's get practical before we close. This is very great, but the irony of this would be if we heard this and we were like, yeah, and then we just went back to normal. Of course, what this means is all the various opportunity God gives us, whether it's whilst we are at work, whilst we're doing the dishes, whilst we're with friends or family, this is the sort of battleground, if you like, where you actually have to do the good. Where you actually have to forgive, and you have to have long suffering, and you have to actually do, you know, the sort of secret places where no one will follow you there. That's the places where we actually have to do what he says, not just in public and in sort of worship settings. This is lovely, but of course, what he's talking about here is putting into practice his commandments, his instructions, when it feels like no one's watching, but really he is. We're meant to take this into the mundane parts of our lives and see how every good decision we make that we think doesn't matter, it does, because we're laying bricks. We're laying bricks. And we're building a house that can withstand any storm. I pray that God would illuminate for us in our lives areas where maybe we've been paying lip service, we've been saying the right things, nodding at the right times, but we haven't started to do the right things. I pray that God would illuminate to us, as he did to me as I was preparing for this, many ways where I've been walking around the chair and going, no, this looks good, it's a good chair. But I actually haven't put my weight on it and put myself out to say, wow, I'm really in this. I'm sitting down on this chair. I pray that God would help us to build a life that withstands all the tests that will surely come. Let us pray that Jesus would make us wise builders that build their house on the rock, and not foolish builders who build on something else. And when the torrent comes, our houses collapse and the destruction is complete. Amen.